We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the day.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. I'm Tina Dobbs, sitting in the driver's seat this morning. My sister in Christ, Monica Lovell, is over there running the iPad for us. And our guest for this morning is Joel Kelly. How are you this morning?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing well. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can share them with us through our, you can email it to us at ourpower32@gmail.com. Or you can comment on the Facebook post and we'll do our best to get it on paper and pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll do our best to get that uploaded shortly after the program has ended. Our Facebook sponsor for today is Grants Auction and Realty. They don't charge you more. They make you more by itemizing and cataloging all your items. Please like, share, and comment to let us know you're joining us, even if it's the replay. I think I covered it all. Would you like to pray to start us out?
Yes. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this morning in Jesus' name. And God, we just pray that you would have your way in this room and in on these airways, Lord, that you would just flow and that you would minister to all of us, Lord. And Lord, we just give you the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I like your title. Don't judge me.
Don't judge me. Even if it's bad, don't judge me. Was that longer than 20 seconds?
Yes.
Okay. All right. We're good.
It was perfect.
All right. So do I go?
Yep. It's all you now, sir.
Okay. So last night, I got to be honest, I was panicking. I'll just be honest. I was panicking. As I was looking over my notes, and my notes, you know, they're organized. I colored them, stuff like
you
that.
You even write neatly.
Well, I wrote really slow, so it looked good.
It looked nice.
My normal writing is just chicken scratch. But I'm looking at my notes, and I'm going over them, and I'm in a panic, and I'm like, what in the world is going on? Like, Lord, like, I thought this is what I was supposed to teach, and it's not what he has really been putting in my heart and in my mind the last few days. Like, ever since Tammy asked me if I would come on today, like, the Holy Spirit's been, like, revealing stuff to me and just speaking to me. And I'm looking at my notes, and I'm like, uh-oh. Like, what am I supposed to do with this? So, like, I started panicking. And I started, you know, just crying out to the Lord, like, Lord, help me. You know, I need you. And like, he gave me, all of a sudden, like, it came to mind, like, he opened the door. And all I got to do is go through it. And as soon as that happened, like, peace. So ever since then, I've been like, okay, all right, whatever. Even if I come on here and I look stupid, it's for his glory. I don't care. Like, you know what I mean? Like, even if I look bad, it's still, I don't know. Maybe he's teaching me something. Who knows?
It's the obedience.
Yeah.
That matters.
Like, yeah. Like, we all have to learn and walk in obedience. And I know me personally, sometimes, like, the reason why I was, like, freaking out was, I guess you could say, like, ego, like, oh yeah, what if it's not right? What if, you know, I look terrible? Like, you know, I know I'm fat, but like, still, like, I don't want people thinking like I give a bad message or something, you know, like that to me, that affects me. And I was like, well, maybe he's trying to humble me. I don't know. Mm. Maybe he's really trying to show me, you know, to depend more and lean more on his Spirit. So I'm just like, all right, God, that's what I'm going to do. So if that's all right with y'all.
Oh, that's perfect.
I'm just going to let the Lord lead.
That's perfect. We like it when he does that.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Not necessarily in me. But
yeah.
when you got a microphone in front of you. But, you know, sometimes we got to step out and we got to do things that are a little uncomfortable. But just the fact of knowing, like, that peace came on, I'm okay with it. no matter how it comes out. Like, I'm like, all right, God, as long as you get the glory. Less of me, more of him, that's all I'm worried about. And so like I said, I would like to talk to any of the pastors out there that, you know, you're in a place where you're feeling stuck or you're feeling stressed out, you're feeling beat up. Like, ministry is tough. Like, I know I did it for a short time, but still, like, in that short time, like, it is extremely tough. You feel alone. You feel vulnerable. Sometimes you feel like God put you somewhere and just kind of left you, you know, even though he didn't, right? Mm-hmm. But still, like, you still feel kind of that loneliness and that heartache of not being able to – something about pastors, it's just – it's hard to have, like, actual friendships, you know. You have to have, like, other pastors, really, you know, that iron sharpens iron. So it gets very lonely, and I just want to be an encouragement to any pastor out there that might be feeling that way. God has you where you are for a reason. You are there for this season. He has you there for a purpose, and I want to encourage you to not give up, to stay in there, to fight that good fight like Paul talks about, and stay with it, man, like, or ma'am, you know, whether you're a sister or a brother, like, stay in your calling, because once you're called, you're always called, and if maybe there's a pastor that has walked away from ministry, like, yeah, I want to encourage you too. Like, I know the feeling that you're feeling of being let down, being ashamed or feel like you let God down when you walk away from ministry. And you don't have to feel that way. Like, God loves you no matter what. Like, God has his perfect timing and his perfect will. No matter, you know, our choices, the beautiful thing is he gives us choice, right? We're not robots. But even in that, like, I just urge you, like, it, and anybody that has maybe walked away from a church, I urge you to get back into some kind of church, to some kind of, or some setting where you're in with other like-minded people, other believers that can come alongside of you and to love you, encourage you. You know, Paul talks about, you know, we're supposed to love and encourage one another and just build each other up. And I know from personal experience that, you know, I've had, you know, church hurt, you know. Everybody knows the term, unfortunately. Like, it's the one place that we should be able to go to and everything be good. You know, like, we should be able to go there, be encouraged, and everything be good, you know. Even Gandhi, you know, said, well, I like this Christ, but I don't like the Christians because they don't look like right. Christ, like that. You're not resembling Christ, you know? And so I know what that feeling is, man. The last few years since stepping down and kind of walking out of ministry, it's been rough, like really rough. I felt angry. I felt brokenhearted, just broken to pieces. And I know everybody says, like, I look mean, but I'm actually like a big teddy bear. Like, you know what I mean? Like I give like this mean face and I'm just like, that's my resting face. I'm sorry. Like,
I relate. Yeah.
I don't mean to. I'm actually like, you know, if I put my hands on you, it's to pray for you. Mm-hmm. But, I just, you know, feel like somebody out there is listening and they're going through that same struggle and they're going through something, and to that pastor that maybe at a place where you haven't really seen a whole lot of like newcomers or anything like that, hey, God's got you there, and the people that have been there still need to be discipled, and they have to come into that discipleship, that kingdom mind culture, and you might be there to lead them into that. So then when God does bring new people, you know what I mean, it's not the same cycle over and over again. You know, unfortunately, and I don't know where it happened, but unfortunately, we've allowed the church to look more like the Pharisees than Jesus.
That's right.
And we have lost so many people. And we have turned so many people away that won't even step foot in a church. And it's a shame.
Mm-hmm.
It's a shame that we allow ourselves or our church to look like the people that put Jesus on the cross, you know, instead of Jesus. We say we follow Jesus. We profess that he is Lord and that we're followers of him, but yet the fruit's telling a different story. And I mean, don't get me wrong, there are churches out there that are on fire, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so blessed to be going to the Refuge, and I'm not trying to like pick it up or like, but like Pastor Tammy and her husband Chris Bailey, like those two are amazing people.
Mm-hmm.
Like my wife and I, we both completely feel blessed that we're able to be under them in their ministry, and there's just so much that, you know, they can teach us. Like, yeah, Tammy walks in love.
Yes, she does.
It's like Christ love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't see that all the time. Like that's a rarity, unfortunately.
She has a true pastor's heart.
Mm-hmm. And just to see it's incredible. And I know, like, talking with my wife, because my wife and her are real close, and stuff like that has affected my wife. My wife's like, I need to be more like that. And I know myself too, like, and I've always been a loving guy, but now I'm like, well, shucks, man, she makes me look terrible. Here she is. She's this little spitfire. Like,
she's,
man,
a powerhouse.
Man, like, yeah. Dynamite comes in small packages, mm-hmm. you know. And then you got her husband, who is just, man, he is like the authority of the house. Like, he is called into that spot, and man, I trust him. Like, he is a man of God and walks in integrity, you know. And when, like I said, we're just at this time, like, we are so blessed to be under them. And you know, we're out at the they changed from the barn. I don't know if y'all know, mm-hmm. the barn. But they're out at New Liberty now. Well, somebody said, well, that's out in the middle of nowhere. And I'm like, well, no, that's out in the middle of somewhere, because that somewhere is where God's called it to be.
Mm.
And where it's at, I know God's called it to be, because I've seen, like, with my own eyes, man, I've seen lives changed. I've seen addictions broken, you know, and just as kind of a bystander, you know. Now, you know, Pastor Tammy has kind of called me to kind of help and start teaching, like, on Sunday nights and stuff. But, you know, for a while, like I said, man, it's been a rough few years. I'm finally like, all right, God, just get me out of this. You know, I want to be back with you. And man, just to see what's going on, even out in the middle of somewhere, you
yeah.
know. And you know, maybe pastors listening, and you're in the middle of somewhere, middle of nowhere, whatever. It's encouraging, man. If God is going to do something, which if you stay faithful to him, he's going to do something. No matter what it looks like, he's moving on your behalf. So it don't matter where you're at, like location-wise. It's not location, location, location. Mm-hmm. That doesn't matter with God.
No. Nope.
You know, now that I see that, like, with my eyes, it's like opening up like a whole new thing. Like, God can do anything anywhere, and I mean, Jesus was born in one of the smallest, minute cities in Israel. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then he grew up in Nazarene. And they're like, why is this guy from Nazarene? Is he even here, you know? Like, he's not worthy enough to even be talking to us. So, like, the small rural areas, like, we have a purpose. God has a plan, you know. And we're called the Bible Belt for a reason, you know. You got to keep the belt on to keep the pants up.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, God needs believers staying faithful and staying where he has us to, you know, keep us maybe from the nation, you know, completely. You know, I know it's like fallen a lot since, you know, I was a kid and whatever, and I ain't trying to get into that or nothing like that, but we're here for a reason. So like in that, you know, just have encouragement. That's all I want to do. I just want to encourage people. I want to love people. Like, I know the feeling of feeling like you're just nothing, you know, mm-hmm. and but you are something. And, you know, you even like if you want a good steak, where do you go? You go to Simon's Catch mm-hmm. around here, right? Right. It's off the beaten path. Mm-hmm. Unless you're from around here, you don't really know where Simon's Catch is at. Right. It's out on Carnes Road. Some people are probably like, where's Carnes Road? Well, it's not actually called Carnes Road. There's just a bunch of Carnes that live out there. And I grew up in Merritt, and that's what I called it growing up. I guess it could be called Pruitt's Road. There's a lot of Pruitts out there, too. But, but you know, that's what I grew up calling it. But I don't even know the real name of the road. But I know how to get a Simon's Catch.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, being there, I've never seen somebody cut into a delicious, juicy steak and complain about having to drive out there. Or eat that all-you-can-eat catfish, right, with the hush puppies and that butter. You know what mm-hmm. I'm talking about? I'm getting hungry. Oh, my stomach's going to start growling. Let's go. Well, I don't think they're open today. No. But, you know, we'll plan it. But, you know, like, I've never seen anybody or heard anybody complaining about having to drive to Simon's Catch. Mm-mm. They go there because they're hungry and that's what they want. Poppies out there at the old Triggers.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good, delicious food.
I drive out there.
Smoked meatloaf. Yeah, man. You got me messed up.
I haven't tried their meatloaf. Is that. It good?
Man.
I haven't tried that. This yes. just then, Poppies. No.
Poppies has smoked meatloaf on Tuesdays, I believe, y'all. Ask me how I know it's good.
Apparently, maybe that's some revenue coming in. You
right,
know?
Yeah.
Poppies, if you hear this.
And, you know, with you saying that, it's like how many times do we go through Mickey D's and they mess the order up? Mm. But yet we still go back and give them another chance.
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
Well, I had to work at Mickey D's and... It's not pretty when you mess an order up.
Yeah.
Yeah, some people get
I used to be that one. I used to be the old me.
The pre-Jesus?
Yeah, yeah, man. That me, I can almost guarantee you 1,000% when they seen Monica Lovell coming with her group, they did not want to be our person. I was that one.
Registers closed.
But God
ice
is
cream
good.
Machine is down.
Yeah. Yeah. But God is good. You know, He yeah. changed my heart. Yeah. And I think for me, what I had to do, brother, is I had to learn when I became a Christian, when I began to follow Jesus and gave Him my heart, that was not my license or my ticket to look at you sideways and point all your flaws and failures.
Right.
It is for me to look at you and say, brother, you're doing great. You are doing great, by the way. Oh. And we are so glad you're here. Is there anything I can do to make this easier? Is there anything that you need from me that can help you get through this?
Are you really asking me? Because I could use some McDonald's now.
Well, if I should have brought the egg McMuffin or the sausage McMuffins.
We got DoorDash, you know, too. I don't even know. I live in Sayre. We don't have nothing. But
they do.
But
but that's what, you know, for me, I had to learn that.
Yeah.
Because when I first came to Christ, man, I was critical. Mm. I was pretty critical. Critical of myself and critical of those around me. And I had to go through some corrections mm-hmm. and let the Lord allow Him to move in me and deal with me and teach me how to love like Him.
Yeah.
Because what you need may not be what this guy over here needs. Mm-hmm. You may need two totally different things. You may just need a glass of water. This guy may need a whole meal.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yep. You may have had breakfast this morning. This guy may not have eaten for 3 days. Hmm. And I can't look at you and say, oh, well, he looks good or here, brother. What can I do for you? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We have to. And, you know, that's something that the Lord has really been dealing with me on is how we're treating one another. Mm-hmm. We're claiming that we're brothers and sisters in Christ. Yeah. But yet we treat each other like redheaded stepchildren. Excuse the lingo there or the terminology, but, you know, beat you down and toss you over there because you don't look.
You don't look a certain way.
What I think you should look like. Yeah. You don't sound like what I think you should sound like.
Golly.
You know?
I think I wrote that down.
Did you really?
You go ahead. Like, that's awesome. Yeah.
And it's cool, you know, and let that be confirmation and encouraging to you that, you know, you're on the right path, brother. You know, as long as we keep showing up, God can show out.
Yeah.
It's when we choose not to. Go here. I don't like that place. Well,
didn't work out too well for Jonah. You know?
Right.
Come on.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. That's a good word. Mm-hmm. Not just because God gave it to me and I wrote that down, but I really, you know, like you said, that's confirmation and hearing from the Spirit. And I love it, man. I love when God does stuff like that, when, you know, people just full of the Spirit and you see, you know, like God saying this or this or this, and then like everybody's getting it, and it's like, okay, like, this is awesome.
The dots start connecting.
Yeah.
It's really cool. It's all connected.
It's all connected. Yeah.
Jesus said that we would know, they would know us by our love for one another. And that's another thing I think we need to think about, because we're not being a good example of who Christ is when we are accusing and attacking our brothers and sisters in Christ.
Yeah, exactly.
Satan is the accuser of the brethren.
Mm-hmm.
When we see things, I think we're supposed to go to God and pray for that person.
Yes.
Because they love the Lord. They seek the Lord. The Lord can tell them in a way more gentle way than we can tell them.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't hurt. It doesn't make them feel shameful or defensive.
Right.
When he does it.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Even like, you know, I believe it's Paul. He talks about going alongside of your brother or sister and having that encouragement. But you got to have that relationship with that brother or sister. You know what I mean? So many times, like, we see a new person come in, and, like, they automatically feel judgment. And it's like, whoa. Like, before, like, you had a revelation of who Christ was, you were doing the same stuff, like sin is sin.
Yep.
Like that's scripture. Sin is sin, and we can't allow ourselves to judge. And I'll just go ahead and read the scripture that I had for today. It's Luke 6, verse 37. Judge not, that you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Like that's I don't know. To me, that it sounds really familiar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in culture, you know, we say karma, you know, what you dish out, it comes back. Whether you dish out good comes back, bad. But I'm saying no, like, that's the word of God. It's not karma. That's the word of God right here in red letters. So this is Jesus' words. This was his teaching. And he's saying what you dish out, basically, is what you get back. That same measure. And I think, like y'all were saying, like, we have to come to a place where we allow people to come in their sin and not judge them. Like, it broke my heart one time. I had a guy, and he told me that, he said, well, I need to get some stuff straight in my life. And then, you know, me and my family were going to start looking for a church. And I was like, oh, my gosh. I was like, I'm sorry, man, but it's backwards. You know, it's backwards. You're supposed to come in the way you are. That's why Jesus went to the sinners. You know, you're supposed to come in the way you are, because if we could fix ourselves, then Jesus died for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like,
mm-hmm.
he came to die for us because that was the only way we could get out of our sin and be back in relationship with God. So I don't understand. I guess it's because we start seeing it in ourselves. We start realizing what, like, the sin is. Like, we don't realize it before, but then we realize what the sin is. So we start trying to work on ourselves, and when we see somebody else, it's like we judge them from, and like, totally forget, like, hey, I was once there. You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
I was once there. Oh, they're smoking weed. Well, I was once there. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? There was a time when I was smoking weed. I was selling bad stuff. Like, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Until God wrecked me, changed my heart. But I have to be willing to say, all right, you know, I can't judge somebody for whatever. Even something Pastor Tammy said the other day in one of her messages. She said, and like, it just, I don't know, it was crazy in my mind. She said that even God loved Hitler just as much as he loves me. And like, man, when she said that, like, I kind of set back, like, never thought about that. You know what I mean? Like, he chose, you know, he chose his thing, but,
right.
But, and, you know, murdered so many people, but, and here I am, I'm judging him right now, you know, but,
no,
but, God loves Hitler just as much as he loves me. So the addict on the street that, you know, I see, they're loved just as much as I'm loved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God has no respecter of person. Like, he gives us his free will. Like, you know, for God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. He didn't come for a certain group, you know what I mean?
Right.
I know there are groups of Christians that believe that, oh, like, we're already set aside. And I'm like, dude, it goes against, like, the gospel. Like, it goes against what it's saying. And John, I mean, he is the self-proclaimed beloved one of Jesus, you know? Like, we got to listen to this guy. And he's saying that whoever, or I think it's the King James, whosoever,
mm-hmm.
right? So whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And that goes back to the choice. That goes back to the blessing that we have, and that's God giving us a choice, separating us. That's why he gives us dominion, or mankind dominion over the earth. I look at even back in Genesis, you know, like, they had a choice whether they were going to eat the fruit or not, you know. And some of our choices, it doesn't happen overnight, you know. Eve wasn't looking at that fruit just one day and decided to eat fruit. It happened little yeses, like allowing that fruit to be
little
in
compromises.
Yeah, little compromises. Mm-hmm. Perfect. Little compromises. You know, being like thinking about it, and just then you start really thinking about it, and then eventually you fall and you eat the fruit. You know, it's throughout Christianity, it's throughout the Bible, you know. Yeah. What we dish out is given back to us.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that's so powerful. I think that there's so many people that God, what could God not judge in them that he couldn't judge in us? You know, like what have we done that was so righteous that we can say we're over, or feel we're over somebody? It's just, it's not in the gospel. It's not, mm-mm. it's not truth. We're all sinners, you know. Thankfully, yet while we were still sinners, he died for us, you know, and that goes along with John 3:16.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So that goes back to the choice thing. But he's given us this choice, and I'm tired of the church looking like this religious Pharisees.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the other day I was reading, and the word Pharisees, well, at least in the English translation, it literally, the last part of the word Pharisees is S-E-E-S, like you see. And it's crazy, ironic that would be in there, because they didn't see God right in front of them.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right. That's interesting.
You know,
it may be stupid, but
no, that's very interesting.
Something that the Lord told me a while back. Do you remember the hammer?
Yep.
The hammer.
That's what I was thinking when we were deciding a title. I was thinking about put the hammer down.
Something the Lord told me a while back was, you don't judge someone's fruit with a hammer. And I was like, yes, sir.
Yeah, it's the wrong tool.
Yeah. And so he gave me that for a while, and like was really stressing how we do not judge one another's fruit with a hammer. Because with a hammer, you go up and you smash the fruit. What's it good for then?
Yeah.
It's squished, and, you know, what's it for?
Turn it to mush.
Yeah. It becomes no good. Right. And that came right before my bonus daughter got married. God is so good. She married a man from India. And to be honest, I was not pleased. Because he doesn't have the same belief system that we have. You know, he doesn't believe in the same way. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And he had... So I went to go meet her husband for the first time. And I knew when I walked in the hotel room where they live, I knew why God told me that. Because had I had a hammer, I would have most likely, okay, definitely, he said you would have, I would have smashed his statue. His altar. I would have smashed it. What would he have thought?
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And since, so for me, I had to get control.
Right.
Because I was a very unhappy mama bear. Mm-hmm. You know? This is where my grandson is going to be with.